Is she a regular time on Thursday?
This Thursday? Because we have that thing. Let's start a few minutes early just to finish it for you. Okay, that's a good idea. So it said, what?
Yeah.
No, I hear. I hear both the.
I don't know what time that thing is, but.
It's supposed to be, I think, at 12, although I don't think it's so terrible to come at 12:15. I think Shu already gave me a hint, right? Let's start at 10 to instead of. What do we usually start on Thursday? 11? So let's start at 10 to 11. Okay? Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, 10 to 11. Good. Okay, so let's. I don't know where that was. So, okay. So let's finish up Masachet B'Kuvya and Melech, and then move on to Shgug on Thursday, hopefully, if you don't get to it today. I'm not sure if we'll finish Melech today.
Should we have Makoros for Shgug?
Oh, did I? I think I left it. I don't want to do so much, just the Rishonim on the Mishnah and the Rishonim at the end of the Gemara. The Rashi, the Ramban. I'll look at the Rambam. I'm interested in the Kiddushi Aran. I'll get it to you, hopefully, later tonight. I think I forgot the Ramaska, so that doesn't help me so much. I'm interested in the question of, whether or not, also there is, you could be technically telling, could you be technically telling the truth? It's almost like the flip side, a little bit of the Ra'ah, that we've been talking about. Can you be technically telling the truth and still violate the chiyuv of karma shvuos? Right, the ra'az kiddush is, that is considered to be technically telling the truth. Kushta says in another minute, kushta ka'amar. But let's say you testify that you don't remember the edus, but it would be easy for you, let's say, to jog your memory, to reconstruct what took place, it's within your reach. You can access, those memories, right? So what's the relationship, again, between technical truth and your responsibility to be an aid? That's really what I want to get mostly. But there are a few just important, comments to make about it. It's not such a big topic. And then after that, again, I want to speak about, before I get to that, actually, I just want to go through the Shaklataria quickly again of Dun Mino Mino Dun Mino Bukabiatra, because we discussed it regarding obviously Rameir Mechachamim. So just let's go through the Shaklataria again. Just I want to talk about in general when we say which, and especially what the Raivid really had in mind, both in Perek Tes and in Perek Yud, especially in Perek Yud when he basically requotes the whole Gemara. Very rare for the Raivid to spend so much ink, on quoting a Gemara when, we're not even sure what he wanted from it. So we also discuss it. In other words, the question of the Rambam and the Rimigash against the other Rishonim on the question of whether you need a Shvua Bebezdin, or whether Shvua Bebezdin matters, or only Kfira Bebezdin matters. But a little bit, just more on that idea of when we say Dun Binov, when we say Dun Binov Okaviatra, and then again finishing up to the Mishnah, and then I want to get to, we should already start looking at, because those will take quick, for next week, for on Lamed Bey Samad Aleph, and some of the Gemaras that we've alluded to before, right, the Eid Echad, and the Eid Echad of Misabal, that whole Shakla Vitaria, on Lamed, we're going to go quickly through Lamed Aleph from the base, and then try to get to Lamed base. We'll just go straight, and then we'll see what happens. But yeah, okay. So they start with the Shakla Vitaria already on Lamed base, Amud Aleph, and we'll see what happens. See how far we can get with it. I want to talk about Eid Echad and those kind of things quickly as well. Okay, but I'll try to get to Marmon Kabbalist later on, either today or tonight. I just need a few minutes to find, or to sit down and find the Dibur Maskels. Good. For now, let's finish off with our discussion first of Masachet B'Kuvya, and then of Melech. So regarding Masachet B'Kuvya, we went through the Gemara on in Yoma, which is a very fascinating Gemara. It's important generally. again, the Gemara thought that if you hold Chatzi Shir is also Rabbanan, that that would still be Mujba V'Omeid. Generally, that can be explained in one of two ways. One way is to say that the Gemara just has a much more expansive view of what Mujba V'Omeid is. Now, they don't care whether it's Mujba V'Omeid. Again, usually the phrase is Mujba V'Omeid Mehar Sinai. So that's, you know, a little bit problematic. Nishba l'kayimus of it. The idea behind it certainly is that it's a superfluous shrua. It's very hard to explain why if Chatzi Shir is also midrabanan, that would be a superfluous shrua. That's the problem. The flip side of that, as we discussed, is if you hold Chatzi Shir is also min haTorah, this Gemara certainly implies that if you hold Chatzi Shir is also min haTorah, you're certainly going to say that it's Mujba v'Omeid Mehar Sinai. But as we pointed out, you have this Havamina about the Drabanan, and you have the Maskana that even Chatzi Shir Asur Min haTorah is not Mujba V'Omeid. Right? That's, again, two days in Tosis in the third parak here in Shavuos, Chav Beis and Chav Gimel. And the Shitas HaRambam in Hilchos Shavuos is very clear that we don't say Mujba V'Omeid, even though the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Macholos Asuros very explicitly that Chatzi Shir is also min haTorah, like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. So what do we? What is the Hava Mina according to Reish Lakish, and what is the Maskana according to Rabbi Yochanan? So again, one way to talk about all this is to talk about it in terms of Mujba V'Omeid Mehar Sinai, which isn't really our topic right now, obviously, but it is a Shavuos topic, and a third parak topic, and a very important one, and a Nedarim topic. If you had a very expansive view of that din, right, and you wanted to drop the Misinai part of it, or at least not take that so seriously, what you could say, and for the Reish Lakish at least, is that as long as something is already Asur, we don't care why it's Asur, and you know that it's the Shua is still gratuitous in the sense that there's an Isur Gabra, whether something is Asur Midaraisa or Midrabanan, even if you take a very, you know, hardcore view that, you know, Drabanans and Daraisas are totally different, right? But you haven't, you know, imposed upon yourself any new obligation. Again, the Misinai part is a little tricky, but you know, maybe that's what's going on, and nothing more. So, for example, for the Ramban, who Digimei, you know, who think that Losasur doesn't apply to regular Drabanans at all, it's a very limited application. Again, it may apply to Vitzivanu. I think I mentioned that. The Ramban doesn't, you know, tell you what he does with the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara Brachos, Daf Yates, about Lo Sasser, he thinks, is an Asmachta. The Gemara says, Ach Smechinu Rabbanu Nakra, the Lo Sasser. The Ramban says, yeah, Asmachta, you know, the regular din of Asmachta, meaning it's not a real Mokar. What does he do with the fact that we say the words Vitzivanu, and it's not a Bracha Levatala or a Sheker, In the sugya in Sukkah and the sugya in Shabbos about, you know, the answer is that even the Ramban thinks that min haTorah you have to listen to the Rabbanan, in that sense. Just, you know, he has a very, let's say, extreme view as to what it means to say, you know, that Lo Sasser would be an authentic source. So he thinks either Drabbanan is a Drabbanan and it's Asmachta, but you still have to listen to it begabra because of Vitzivanu. So maybe whatever is sufficient for Vitzivanu, for the Ramban, is also sufficient for Nishba L'Kayim Mitzvah. By the way, you have the exact parallel discussion, L'Halacha. I don't think anybody holds L'Halacha that Nishba L'Kayim Mitzvah is accomplished by a Drabbanan. That's half a mean of the Gemara here. It's definitely not, doesn't seem to be Maskana, but there are some Rishonim, and especially some poskim, some interesting tshuvas of the Ribash and Vaz and so on the level of Nishba Levatel as HaMitzvah, whether or not that isn't a Din Doraisa, even when you take a Shua against Rabbanans. Now again, that might be for a different reason. Again, sorry, we're veering a little into the third parak, but why not, right? It's Shuas. That's a really interesting topic too, the relationship between Nishba Levatel and Nishba L'Kayim. It could be that in Nishba Levatel, again, in Nishba L'Kayim, the problem is that it's superfluous, right? It's redundant. It's Mujba V'Omeid Mehar Sinai. The problem in Nishba Levatel is usually that it's shav, And the reason that it's shav may be a bailus issue, meaning you have no right to do. You can't take a shvua of committing yourself to do something that you just have no bailus over. You have no rights. So the point is, you have no rights to violate drabanans, just like you have no rights to violate deraisas. Let me make it clear. We certainly understand the view, probably the majority view, preponderant view, which says that even nishba lebatel is defined on a deraisa level. But what I'm trying to explain is that it's easier to explain drabanans being treated like deraisas and nishba lebatel, if indeed it's a bailus problem, than it is to explain it as a redundancy problem in nishba lekai. But having said that, as I say, maybe even the vitzivanu, the broader vitzivanu, is still good enough, you know, on some level. Obviously, if you take the view that there's a real lo sasor that undergirds avi drabanan, then, like the Rambam holds in numerous places, both in Sefer Mitzvos and in Hilchos Mamrim and so on, and as Rashi holds in Brachos, and Rashi, again, in my opinion, not coincidentally, is quoting this in Yoma as well, then it's much easier to read the Hava Mina, the Gemara. Then the question is, like, what do you do with the Maskana? Right? The Ramban has an easy time with the Maskana. What about Rashi and the Rambam? So that goes to what I was saying, which is, you know, especially if you hold the Halacha like the Rambam, that even Chatzishir Asur Minat Torah, right, is not Mujba V'Omeid. So you're certainly not going to have any trouble explaining why the Rabbanans, even if they're, you know, even if they always trigger Lo Sasur, isn't, you know, Mujba V'Omeid, right? Even the Dorais of Chatzishir isn't, right? So the point is that the difference between something being, you know, a very differentiated and Asur Minat Torah in a specific way, as opposed to being just an Isur Klali, or again, some of the Mepharshim say based on a Drasha, however you want to explain it, the point is the specifics are not Doraisa. And this is even more true if you accept what I was saying the other day, which is that, you know, maybe the Ramban was a little too harsh on the Rambam, you know, in his projection that the Rambam thinks every Drabanan, you know, is a specific Doraisa, even as a Maisa Vera, even as a Chefza Shel Avera, right? That isn't what the Rambam might think kind of mind at all. So then it's very easy to understand, and even if you were to take the other view in the Bali Tosis, not like the Rambam, that Chatzishir Asur Minat Torah did qualify as Mujba V'Omeid Me'Har Sinai. Right? But still, that's one thing, and Lo Sasor, you know, might still be a two-stage process, and one which has nothing to do with the Maisa Veira or the Chatzah Shel Veira, and maybe Mujba V'Omeid doesn't depend on the end of the day. Again, the Hava Mina, according to one perspective we were saying, it just depends on whether or not you're allowed to do it or not. And in the Maskana, maybe what we're saying is, even if not only you're not allowed to do it, but you trigger a Dindaraisa, as long as there's the Maisa Veira and the Chefza Shalisur isn't Daraisa, that's not called Mujba V'Omeid. In the end of the day, the more you think that, you know, the Rambam is saying something more subtle, and I believe Rashi too, the easier it is to explain the Shakla Vatarya of our Gemara. I did say I would say one thing about, so a couple of people asked me afterwards, what about another possibility, and that is that maybe only violate Lo Sasor under like certain conditions. So that is a very popular answer in the Achronim. I just don't think it works so well in the language of the Hekef of the Rambam. I mean, there are some Achronim who answered the Ramban's questions against the Rambam by saying that, by pointing out, that the pointing out I think is correct, that Lo Sasor is in the Parsha of Zakein Mamre. And therefore, maybe we should always look at Lo Sasor, even as it applies to Drabanans, from like the vantage point of Zakein Mamre, mainly as an act of merit. So the point is that some Achronim say this, that maybe, according to the Rambam, you only violate Lo Sasor if you violate Drabanans because they're Drabanans. That is, you're challenging the authority of the Chacham. So then, that's a kind of a poor man's, you know, Zakein Mamre, you know, if you will, right? So, but let's say you're just lazy, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, you're an equal opportunity, you know, avarian, you know, you don't only violate drabanans because they're drabanans, you violate doraisas too, you know, the teyavon, or because you're lazy, or as the case may be. So if there was no element of mered, or zaken mamre, so then the Rambam wouldn't say it. So that's an interesting chiluk. It doesn't sound that way at all in the Rambam. It doesn't make those qualifications. The Rav thought something similar, but without some of those problems. He thought that lo sasser, again, lo sasser, and I think Rabbi Chana Vassman pretty much says this also in the Kuntra Stira Divrei Sofrim, that lo sasser is a mered kind of, you know, mechayiv iser. But instead of saying that you therefore only violate it when you do it b'toras mered, like because it's a drabanan or challenging drabanan's authority, which are also slightly different from each other, but either way, they're in a similar direction. But what he thought was that, you know, that drabanans are like hypersensitive, you know, because they're not doraisas and because they do, you know, rest on the authority of the chachamim. And therefore, that hypersensitive, again, this is my formulation, my understanding of what he was saying. He didn't exactly say it this way. But that hypersensitivity, you know, is the idea that drabanans anyways are always a kind of litmus test, or they're always, you know, more subject, you know, to being abused. That hypersensitivity turns every violation of a drabanan, you know, into a kind of slap in the face or a challenge to the chachamim. Intended or not. The advantage of saying it that way is, of course, you don't have to have that in mind, and it doesn't matter how whether you are or not an equal opportunity offender, or whether it's out of laziness or other things, right? Either way, the violation of drabanans is a violation of losasser. So how does that help you with some of the problems? It helps you because, let's say, however, built in, not just the way you happened to violate it or what you were thinking or what your motivation was or what the circumstances were, but let's say you wouldn't violate a drabanan, you know, per se, it's just that, you know, safek, you know, is not a clear act of merit. Or kavod abrios, you know, is a counter pressure. So if then, and maybe that's something Chachamim recognized too, namely, there's no merit when you only violate something when it's a safek. And there's no merit when you violate something because of a legitimate other factor that the Chachamim themselves, you know, acknowledge as being important. So, given that, you know, that would help you explain or navigate a lot of the issues. In my opinion, again, those, I think there's a lot of merit to those things, including the other idea, which Ramban himself mentions and rejects, namely that the Drabanan created these institutions, and they also structured in, you know, Safek Lekula or Kavod HaBriyos, the way Rashi basically interprets in Brachos Daf Yates, and the, again, that's what the Ramban suggests, but then rejects. The truth is that there's a very nice Maria Buav in Beitza, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, who suggests that that's really the Machlokas in the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza has a discussion whether davar sheyeshal matirin, we say davar sheyeshal matirin, afilu be'elef lebata, right? Meaning something that is going to become mutter anyway, right? Let's say muktzah, right? So after yontif or after Shabbos, muktzah goes away. So you just have to wait it out. So it's davar sheyeshal matirin. Many other davar sheyeshal matirins. So you say davar sheyeshal matirin, afilu be'elef lebata. So what about davar sheyeshal matirin regarding the applying it to the question of sveika drabanan Lekula, or we say Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula. So let's say all you have to do is wait. Zavrshesh Matirin. So that seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara in Beitza and Gimel Amud Beis and Dalet Amar, Rav Ashi and I forget who the other Manda Amar is on Gimel Amud Beis and Dalet Amar Aleph and Beitza. There seems to be two deos in the Gemara whether you apply the din of Zavrshesh Matirin Afilu Be'elef Lebatel to this or not. So the Maria Buav in Beitza. There's a book called Shitas Kadmonim on Beitza, so he has a Maria Buav there. And so he says, oh, this machlokas is a machlokas about Sveika Drabanan Lekula. Right? Sveika Drabanan Lekula, din vadai? Or is it a din safek? If it's a din vadai, So it's not sensitive to Dharm Shesh Lamatirin, because it just means that Kai Gav no Lotikin. Unless you say the Dharm Shesh Lamatirin is not even a suffix, but it is a suffix at the moment. And the other view is, no, it's a kind of hachra. It's a halachic hachra, but it's a hachra. It's b'torah safek, not b'torah zvadai. So then you should apply the rule of Dharm Shesh Lamatirin. That's an interesting question. Sveka drabanan keneged eskaza kisura. It's like also a big issue. Right. Anyways, so there are numerous examples and issues, you know, connected with these, let's three or four different answers. I just think that while there is merit to each of these on their own, the total comprehensive view of the Rambam is that he just never, ever went that far to begin with. He just felt that lo sasur means that whenever you violated the raisa, you violated the rabbanan. But he never felt that the maisa beira becomes a beira da raisa or a chetza shalisu da raisa. And I think I tried to exemplify it by the fact that the Ramban, again, projects the requirements of Zakein Mamre, or the application of Zakein Mamre to Dinim Durabanan, Lishitaso, to this notion. But if you look at the Rambam, I think it's pretty clear that he didn't. It never occurred to the Rambam that, you know, the reason that Zakein Mamre can apply to Durabanans is because of Lasasar. If you look at his formulation, it's clearly connected exclusively with the impact of Zdonokar's Shigas Ochatos. And he has them in two different places, doesn't mention one in context of the other, not in Sefer Mitzvos and not in Yad HaChazaka. So I just think that, you know, in totality, that's the Rambam's view. Either way, this Shock of Atari Yom is very important. Why is it important for us? Because then the Gemara has this, and then I'll take the questions, this suggestion that the status of Mesachik Bekuvia, you know, and Korban Shvuas Eidus is going to be equated with the question of, the Gemara says, V'chitema, let's say that you know, it's not true. Like the Mujma V'yomeid, you know, depends on Doraisa versus Drabanan. It doesn't depend on Iser, right? So the Gemara says, well, that makes sense, but it's contradicted, you know, by Mesachi Bekuvio, where we see that we do treat Drabanans like Doraisas. So that's a pretty strange line of the Gemara. So, again, with the background of what we've said, which is that I guess the best way to read the Gemara is that the way Rashi reads it, and probably the way the Rambam read it, and which is that there's a kind of Lasasur idea here. So it sounds like at that moment in the Gemara, at least, they were thinking that they were thinking one of two opposite things, right? They were either thinking that there are dinim doraisa that depend, you know, practically on whether or not, you know, they're, you know, you're allowed to do something, you know, you're effective in doing something. That's the pragmatic, right, dictates. That one possibility, I guess, if you read the Gemara like the Ramban or the Imei. So then we're saying is, you know, Lemaisa, right, even if it's something that's only also Durabanan, that's still Nishba Lekayim is a mitzvah. Okay. And by the same token, right, the reason that, you know, Mesachek Bekuvia, right, is going to be you know, that by the same token, you should say that Mesachik Bekuvia, right, should be potter from Shavuos Eidos. But you can't have both of those things, you know, at the same time. Right? You can't say that there's no Nishba L'Kayim is a mitzvah, but that Mesachik Bekuvia is that the Din D'Rabbanan affects the Din D'Oraisa. So that's one way to read it. Much easier way to read the Gemara, and I think according to Rashi and the Rambam, the right way to read the Gemara, is what the Gemara is saying is, listen, Lo Sasur, you know, does upgrade Drabanans. Again, I don't think it makes them fully Doraisas, but it definitely means that you violated Doraisa, or maybe even further. Maybe that's a Havamina that's rejected, that really, you know, blurs the lines between Drabanans and Doraisas. And then the Gemara says, yeah, but maybe that's wrong. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be wrong, because you see from Masachim Bekuvia that it's right. Meaning that you have a situation where you have Midaraisa Mechzichazi, and the Drabanan of Masachik Bekuvia being Pasol Eidos Midrabanan affects the din of Korban Shvuas Eidos. So if you read the Gemara that way, right, what we're really highlighting is the formality of the Hu'ed, Oroyada, without a practical Hefsed Mama. Again, so is it the Shame Eid, Doraisa, or maybe even like what Tosa says on Ardaf, on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, right, that, you know, the principled, you know, Hefsed Mama. Okay, but we're saying not that the pragmatic, you know, is no, we're not saying simply that you know that hefsed is koveya. We're saying that the din derabanan, right, is treated as a din doraisa, essentially. So then, when the Gemara turns around, right, this is clear. So then, when the Gemara turns around and makes its distinction, the Gemara says, no. There is a difference between Shvuas Ha'edos, let's say a Nishba, L'Kayim B'sa Mitzvah, right now, how are we to take it? Right, so the easiest way to take the Gemara is to say, Shvuas, you know, Nishba L'Kayim B'sa Mitzvah, right, that's a formal din. Right, so in the end of the day, we do care about the difference between Doraisa and Drabban. It's not Mujba B'yomin Mar Sinai. And it's not gratuitous because you know you're talking about, you know, a Chefza Shalisa or a Maisa Veira, you know, Doraisa, which you didn't have previously. But when it comes to Shuas Ha'edos, right, Im Lo Yagid V'Nasa V'Ono, so that's because that is a pragmatic halacha, right? That depends on Lamaisa, your silence, your suppression of your Edos, triggering a Hefsed Mamon or not. And it really doesn't, because so if your Eidos isn't going to be impactful. Anyway, I'm saying according to the Pashtus, not the Rajba, you know, for the moment, and so on. So that's the easiest way to read the Gemara, and probably that's the way that the Rambam read the Gemara, and, you know, and probably many others as well. That's what the Gemara means, that you're not a Bar Haggadah. Right, it means that you don't have any impact. Lo mahaniye do so, right? But we know that not everybody read it that way, right? So the other way to read it is to say that even though when it comes to nishba l'kayim es mitzvah, right, that depends on the daraisa status. Right, when it comes to Shvuas Ha'edos, you know, it also depends on the Doraisa status, but the Doraisa status itself is undermined, right, even by a psul Eidos Drabanan. In other words, even if Lo Sosor, let's say, isn't enough for Nishba L'Kayim, after all, let me say it this way, even Chatzishir Osor Min HaTorah may not be enough for Nishba L'Kayim. But when it comes to Vehu Eid or Ra Oyada, maybe the Shame Eid really is dependent upon the Drabanan as well as the Daraisa. Right? That's a way to read the Gemara. So again, I think I mentioned the other day that there's a major debate among the Gaonim already, and then later in the Rishonim, the majority view by far, we'll get to this in just a second, is that Tamakadesh Bifnei Psule Eidos Drabanan, majority view in the Gaonim, in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, is Tamakadesh Bifnei Psule Eidos Drabanan Choshishin Likidusha. However, and that's certainly the Ritva's view, and that's, you know, mostly what we say. However, there is a view in the Gaonim and in the Rishonim that says Hamakadosh Bifnei Psulei Desdrabanan Ein Choshen LeKedusha. Right, and the question again is how could that be? After all, Midoraisa, to use our language, Nechsi Chazi. Right, you have Edim, Ksherim, Daraisa. So you should need a get, Tamadeshus Ish. You should need a get, Midaraisa. How could anybody think, right, otherwise? Ah. So once again, there are two, I think, ways that can be identified to explain that Shita, and there are people who hold that way. So one is, as I mentioned, the Shoel and the Rajba, who when he asked the question, threw in Lo Sasur. Right? You don't need to throw in Lo Sasur, you know, if you take the view that if pragmatically, you know, you can't deliver, or we won't listen to you in Beis Din, you know, then for all you know intents and purposes, even Daraisa, you lose your shemate. You don't need to quote Lo Sasur for that. Basically, what I'm suggesting is there are two ways to explain that shita. One is the formalistic way, which basically does impute great power to Drabbanan, almost like the overlap, like the Ramban's reading of the Rambam. That's what we'll say, oh, there's Lo Sasur, the Chachamim can reach into and, you know, affect Doraisa statuses. Now again, where you draw the line in that, to create or to deny, right, you might distinguish, right? It goes back to, again, Rabosa Shorashi, you know, making a Kinyan Darabanan work Daraisa, or making a Kinyan Daraisa not work anymore. Right? You can be mechalik between those two things. Right? Here we're talking about a case where you have something that works min haTorah. Can you say Lo Sasur, the Chachamim have the power to strip it of its effectiveness? Can Chachamim say Kiddush Bia no longer works, per se? Can they say, when they said, this is a Rabbi Kveger issue, the Chachamim said you can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, right? It's good thing I added the Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, right? That would have been terrible. So Rabbi Kiveger has this discussion. Let's say you went ahead and you blew. Are you Mekayim the Mitzvah? Do you say Shechiyanu? According to the views that you wouldn't say Shechiyanu, or do you, I guess, need an excuse for Shechiyanu or to get into Yom HaRichta? Meaning, what's the effect of the Drabanan saying that you're not allowed to blow shofar? Again, you can be mechalik between these cases. But we find discussions about the impact of Doraisas, of Drabanans on Doraisas in both directions. You know, in being mekayim, in creating, and in undermining, and in different areas as well. So, in one sense, I mentioned yesterday, or 2 days ago, mechuyev Drabanan is a mechuyev Doraisa, to be motzei acherim b'dei chavas. Right? Discussion of Rashi and Tosis and Brachos Memches and other places. So the point is that, you know, that is, if you take it from that point of view, you could say, oh, an approach to Mesachik Bekuvia, right? You know, not being subject to Korban Shvuas Eidos is, there we say, Lo Sasur. Right? The Chachamim stripped it of its status. That indeed is one perspective. That's one perspective. The other perspective, just 1 second, is to say kind of what the Ritva says, right, in making the distinction, and we'll see the Ritva here too. The Ritva in Kiddushin, on Nun Vav, and the Ritva in Psachim, and on Zayin, right, and the Ritva here, just he doesn't have the full discussion of it here. But here he has only half. But the Ritva distinguishes between Mekadesh Bifnei Psule Edes Drabanan and Mekadesh Beisure Hana Drabanan. Right? On the surface, it's the same problem. You have something that on a Daraisa plane works, and on a Drabanan plane does not work. So, you know, there are many who equate them, Lekula and Lechumra. Remember, there are those who think that Mekadesh Bisra and Adrabanan is Kiddusha min HaTorah. Right? Rashi in Psachim, Adav Zayin Amud Aleph, says the only reason that we're Ein Choshen LeKiddushim is because of Kol HaMekadesh Adat Adrabanan Mekadesh. So, which basically means that's a different, you know, that's a Hafkah of Drabanan, that's whatever, however that works. But basically, what that means is that we look at it on the Daraisa level. But the Rabbeinu Peretz, Tos Rabbeinu Peretz in Psachim, and the Ritva in Psachim, and the Ritva in Kiddushin, and the Ritva right here in our daf, in all these places, the Ritva says, that's not the case. The din of the Kaddish b'fnei Psuk and the Kaddish b'Yisur and under Rabbanon, in Choshen the Kiddushin, has nothing to do with Lo Sasur, has nothing to do with Afkinu. It only has to do with the pragmatic impact of this particular drabanan on this particular daraisa. Now, it's in Kiddushin, and this is something we discussed extensively last year, right? The case certainly could be made that in Kiddushin, what you require is not merely an objective shame mamon or a din mamon, right? But you require a pragmatic shir shamarputa, something that is convertible, you know, that you can go down and buy a glass of water or you know, whatever it is that you want to buy with your shamarputa, right? We'll leave that for another time. But the point is, what the Ritva is saying is, you can't do that with Yisrael and Adrabanan. So Lamaisa, if there's a pragmatic shovi component to Kiddushin, Kiddushi Kesef, it isn't just, you know, the formality of Kesef, which itself is a huge debate, then the Kaddish B'Yisurayin Adrabanan Ein Choshen L'Kiddushin. Daraisa. No Lasasar. However, says the Ritva, that's fine for Yisurayin Adrabanan. But a Mekaddish B'Fnei Psuleidus Drabanan, that doesn't seem to be, you know, touching on some sort of pragmatic element. And as such, that should divide up on a Daraisa level versus a Drabanan level. And that's how he paskins. So the Cholkim, again, we have Cholkim on all sides. There are people who say, as we just discussed, that Yisurayin Adrabanan is also, you know, Kiddushin Daraisa fundamentally. But what about those who say that even Mekadosh Bifnei Psuleidus Drabanan is not? So I think what you could say is, either what I said a second ago, it's part of the Lo Sasur group. I mean, there are those who do think that there are blurred lines, right? That the Chachamim really do have kochos, you know, in one direction or another. But the other possibility could be that this has something more specifically to do with Kiddushin. And you could argue this from an Edekiyum point of view or an Edebirer point of view. Ironically, in this particular case, arguing it from the Edebirer point of view is a little more effective. Meaning, if when the Gemara says in Kiddushin Samachayim and Beis that Mekadosh Bifnei Nechad Ein Choshen L'Kiddushin, and the Gemara says because there's no Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami in Kiddushin because it's Kav Lachrini, right? So, and then the Gemara goes on to say, that generally speaking, Lo Ibri Sahadi El Lashakri, that you need any Biur, right? So as we know, there's a huge debate, in the Rishonim about any Kiddushin. One perspective is that Ede Kiddushin or Ede Biur, just like Ede Kinyan Besada or Milva or, Chabala or Gezel, right? La Ibri Sadi El Nishakri. But the Gemara says that Odos Baldin doesn't work. So the answer is you need what we call Tzorech Birur, right? You need to have in your pocket, all things being equal, Ede Birur. Again, if they happen to die at some point or run away to Medina Sayyam, this is, defined by the moment of the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is not Chal unless you have the ability, right, at the moment of the Kiddushin at least, to be Mavarer that this Kiddushin took place. That's the explanation, according to many Rishonim, of Chav Lachriti, meaning there's too much at stake here to leave this up to chance and to leave it up to people's honesty. And therefore, you have to guarantee, secure, the birur of this Kiddushin. You need Tzorech Birur. That's why many Rishonim, Xos liked it very much as well, in the Achronim level, Tzorech Birur. It's basically the same Eidos that we find in Dine Mamonis, because it's Dover Dover Mi Mamon. Right? So they're troubled by that. Just that there, you can risk it if you want, because it's not Chav Lachrini. And here you can. As opposed to the famous Ritva, Ritva B'Shem HaRa'ah, that's quoted in Gittin, but especially in Kiddushin in the beginning of the second parak, which is the idea of Eidei Kiyum, right? Which is that the presence of the Eidim is what's Koveya the Ishus. So ironically, when you talk about the interface of the Drabanan and the Raisa, what you might say is that the more, again, there's another way to say, to argue with this, but the more we focus on Eidei Kiyum, the more, you know, Mechzi Chazi Daraisa, you know, is very, very compelling. Because in the end of the day, the presence of the witnesses, right, is not to be Mavarir, it's to be Mekayim. And Al Pidin, Daraisa, on the Daraisa plane, these are Eidim Ksherim, Lagamri. So you had a wedding in the presence of Daraisa witnesses. Why shouldn't you Daraisa need again? But if the point of the Eidos is not so much Eidei Kiyum, but you have to have, you know, you require Birur for Kiddushin to be Chal, so then you might say, you know, that isn't so different from, you know, being Mekadosh B'Yisurin or Drabanan, you know, from a certain point of view. Because in the end of the day, what happens when these Eidim come up to court, because show up in court, and they're not allowed to testify? Right? So when you think about that, knowing that Meirosh, when you're Mekadosh on their presence, is that Tzorech Birur? So that might be another way to explain Ein Choshen LeKiddushin. Okay. Getting back to our point, what emerges is that there are different. We have a double challenge. We want to understand, you know, both views in the Gemara, Racha Bar Yaakov and Rapapa, right? Because the Gemara says that, we'll get back to this part in a minute, that Melech is certainly Mufka from Shavuos HaEidos. That's what the Gemara seems to say, anyway. Right? And Pesachim B'Kuvya, it's a Machlokas. Right? So we need to understand both views. The view that Pesachim B'Kuvya is Chai B'Shavuos HaEidos and Pater. And each one is challenging in a slightly different way, as we've discussed. So, to say that Pesachim B'Kuvya or P'sul HaEidos D'Rabbanan are chayiv in Shavuos HaEidos, right, seems to align well with the view of Michzi Chazi Midaraisa, if you focus on the Shemaid. It seems to fall short, as we've discussed, when you talk about Hefsid Mamon. Because where's the Hefsid Mamon? Either way, we're not going to listen to you. Maybe, according to that Mandamar, it does depend on the Shemaid. Right? The other Mandamar, you know, has the opposite problem. The Mandamar says that there is no Shavuos HaEidos, right? Does that prove that Hefsed Mamon pragmatically is Koveya? So what we tried to show was that in the Lishonos, at least, of some of the Rishonim, and the way that they read the Maskana in Yoma, or here, or the questions that they ask, right, that we found that everything isn't as, you know, as anticipated, as expected, because this is what we would have thought. You'd think that, you know, the Shemaid people, you know, would be comfortable with Pesachik B'Kuvya being Chayiv, and that the Hefsid Mamon people would be comfortable with it not working at all. And what we found is that that's probably largely true. Rashi emphasizes V'Hu'Eid, you know, like the Sifra. Right, the Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, definitely emphasizes Hefsed Mamon. Bali Tosis emphasized Hefsed Mamon. But the problem is that Rashi emphasizes Shemaid, even when he's explaining the Shita, that Pesachik B'Kuvya is not good. Right? In Yoma. And Bali Tosis seemed to emphasize, you know, the factor of Hefsed Mamon, even when they're explaining Pesachik B'Kuvya is good. So it's helpful a little to try to figure out, right, even on the shame aid level, you know, maybe there is a view that the drabanan can be mafkia a shame aid daraisa, either because of lasasur, or because in the end of the day, the shame aid of Eidei Birur, right, is sensitive to the policies of the chachamim. What would have been, you know, the Shemaid, Mechzichazi Midaraisa, right, is not necessarily what is. And the same is true on a Hefsed Mamon level, like, you know, that you could even if there's a, even if that's the factor, you know, maybe on some Baraisa level, that's important too. So this will explain a lot of the phenomena that we have encountered. There's some questions along the way. It seems like Ellie had a question back earlier. What's that?
Not so shy.
Not so shy. Okay. Does that mean we solved it, or you're saying don't put your luck?
Yeah.
I got it. I hear that. Okay. Was there another question around here? Okay. So that's just to sum up. That's what we have in the Shakavataria, and that's why it's important to figure out what that equation was and how it's disrupted. And then we find very interesting Lashonos. We talked about Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi. Rashi and Tosas here. Shua brought to my attention, I was talking about the Netziv the other day, right? We'll talk about him again in a minute, who seems to say that the problem of Sachi Bekuvia is that there's no Kabbalah sages. Again, we've found a range of views what the problem of Inaroy Lahoid is, right? And including the Drabanan Inaroy Lahoid, right? Is it a Vuhuaid problem or a Hefsed Mamon problem? If it's a Vuhuaid problem, we noted that it could either refer to the shame aid, it could refer to requiring Bitoras Eidos, that something be Bitoras Eidos. It could refer to the Chiyuv Agada, which we'll get back to, that's very prominent with Melech. Or it could refer to Kabbalas Eidos. And I suggested that the language of Rabbeinu Hananel in Yoma may refer to Kabbalas Eidos, Miskayemes, Eidos HaMiskayemes, as opposed to Eidos HaMahani, if that's a proper distinction. And then I noted that the Netziv, you know, says this about Misachek Bekuvia, in his view that it's Kodem Hachraza, so there isn't really a lack of Hefsed Mamon, because if he comes and testifies, he'll still be effective. He's not possible yet, right? But there is already a requirement that there should be no Kabbalah Seidus, that there should be a Hachraza. Shua, your point about the... Right. Yeah, so you just made a...
So after he says that, there wouldn't be any Kabbalah Seidus, he says that that's the reason why the AIDS not a
Hachraza.
He references the... I mean, he doesn't say
the
Rach.
Now, but
he doesn't reference the
Rach. I'm saying the Netziv is kind of using the same language of our Gemara, which the Rach interprets as Einam, because the language of the Gemara is in Yoma, Eino Bar Hagada Klal, or something like that. And that's where the Rach said Einam Iskayemes. So it's just interesting that the Netziv here is using the same language as that Gemara there. So I think that is also very, very interesting. Okay. So we really do have a large, a wide range. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, Yoni?
Yeah. How you read of O Echad Mehen Pasol of Koro, that you would feel Eidon Shadid Rehen, O Shaya Amelat Echad Me'edam Shein Roi Ba'ed, O Shahayu Eidon P.A. Ikakar Mishbao, Tur Mishwad Eidon,
So the Rambam says very clearly the problem is the koach of Hefsed Mamon. This also sounds like the Yerushalmi, not so much like, again, the Sifra and others. And then Asher brought to my attention, do you have it? That the Rambam in Tshuva, Peradori said Simon Gimel? Base. Also, it's very, very explicit. Go ahead. Yeah. So it's again very explicit, very much like Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, that everything that the problem of Sachi Bekuvia is a problem of Hefsed Mamon, not a problem that Midrabanan there's no shame aid. And again, that works very nice, because you might have thought, oh, the Rambam is a little saucer person, you know, he might be open to, you know, this kind of a Havamina, which may have been really the Havamina of the Gemara in Yomba, right? But what I'm suggesting is that, you know, the Rambam never felt that way about Lo Sasor, and he certainly doesn't feel that way about Korban Shavuos Eidos. Now, there is another Chiddush of the Rambam that we'll get back to, and that is comment about Melech, but, yeah, we'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. The Rambam seems to say that Melech is ineffective. I mean, the Rambam is kind of forced into saying that. You have the language again? Who's reading it for? Yoni, right?
Yeah.
Good halacha aleph. Go ahead. Einu rashoi l'hoid is also an interesting line, which we'll get back to. Keep going. Yeah. So it sounds that refers even to Melech, right? The Minchas Chinuch in Kuf Chaf. What is it? Beis or Gimel? Which one is it? Whatever. Kuf Chaf Beis, I think. You know, quotes the Rambam. Says, wow, it seems that the Rambam thinks that a Melech who is made is Eidos is possible. He said, I don't know where he got that from. It's one thing to say that he's not Mechuyev. He doesn't say this, but maybe even to say Einu Rashai, which the Rambam does say. But to say Im Heid that we wouldn't be Mekabel or wouldn't they do so Lo Mahani, is like, wow, that's a very big Yiddish. But the truth is, that's how the Rambam read the Gemara. Because our Gemara doesn't say it directly, but it says it by indirectly or implicitly, because the Gemara contrasts, right, Mesachik Bekuvia and Melech. And it says that Mesachik Bekuvia Midoraisa Mechzichazi, right? Implying that Melech Midoraisa is Midoraisa Lo Mechzichazi. So do those words express simply that there's no Chiyuv Agada? Or Eino Rashai? Or it sounds like, to the Rambam, obviously, it means that, well, we'll discuss, you know, what it might mean in a couple of minutes, that, you know, even if Heidu, there's a psul. Yeah.
The Gersa we have here is Eino Roy.
The Gersa that we have?
Eino Roy.
Oh, and instead of Eino Rashai?
As opposed to Eino
Rashai. Oh, okay. Eino Roy is even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's the Gersa that you have where? Over there. Oh, and what's the Gersa in the that it's Ra'ui. Very good. Okay, great. Einu Ra'ui is even stronger, of course. And by the way, that explains better, although Einu Rashai will still explain it, because it's still V'mana Mikach, or whatever. It's fascinating. We'll get to Melech in just a minute. But Melech doesn't appear in Ochos Eidos, right? Only Talmud Chacham and then Kohen Gadol. So I think that's... But Einu Roy is a very strong statement. Okay. And we'll see that... And Einu Roy, by the way, is the language of the Ritva, too. He says he's kosher, but it's Einu Roy.
Okay.
Einu Roy Achshav. Not so much the Melech, but the Tzaka Bekuvia. So
the... That's
much more the Rambam.
That he's not called a
psul. Say that again.
That the Rambam,
like,
call
of
the
Melech, psul,
or a tarot,
sounds like
he's not a psul.
I'm not. No one. I don't think his Eidos is psul. Yeah. I mean, it won't work. But he's not a psul, for sure not. We'll get to that. That's important for Hilchos Shkagos too. We'll get that in a second. But yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. The Ritva Alatar here, when he talks about Mesachim Bekuvia, interesting, again, the Lashon is a little strange. He mentions a Psul Eidos, no, I'm sorry, he mentions the Avagav the Ksherim Lahoyed Minat Torah, referring to Mesachim Bekuvia, Ein Shvos Eidos Nahigas Behem, Dirachmana Lochiev Karban, Elamisha Roy Lahoyed Ba'osa Shah. I just think it's a little strange. I would have thought that the Ritva would have said, like the Rambam, that this is like a pragmatic halacha, and therefore depends on Hefsid Momo. Instead, he makes it into a din, a level or madrega, as some of the others are, of Roy Lahoid. He's kosher, right, but he's not Roy Lahoid ba'osa shah. Kidaksivim lo yagid, ve'elo enam ru'uyim lahoid. Right? Again, like the language of the Rambam Roy, if you have that girsa. Domeh, just one second. But then the Domeh part is strange, because it says Domeh, Lema Sha'amru b'mekadish b'yisrei nad Rabbanon, she'in choshen l'kidusha, b'shem d'halla yoiv lei Shavapruta. So in the Shavapruta issue, that's an interesting question too. Is the point that she's not Nana, or that Midrabanan there's no shame or Drabanan gets to affect that there's no shame Shavapruta? Again, I would have expected the Ritva to say, you know, there's no Hefsed Mamo. He doesn't exactly say that. He says, right now, you know, this person's in a Roy Lahoid. Yeah.
Ritva and Yuma sounds much more like the Talmud that there's no Hefsed Mamo.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Correct. In you have language there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says, "Imlo yagiv nasavono peirsh zeres hakasatu bechol de lo mehanya hagadasa lo mechayiv lo shna deraisa lo shna deaban."
Yeah. To Psalatus again. Correct.
The point is that the koveya is the hesed mamon. It doesn't matter whether it's because of.
Right. I'm just saying that's why here it's a little stranger, because here he hedges it a little bit more. I think all these lashonos are very interesting. Tamar, do you want to say something?
The Mishnah is in a
Ruin Lahayiv. Right. But that doesn't stop. But again, when you're applying it to Mesachik Bekuvia, which is hard to say because Mitzvah Kazi B'daraisa, so do you want to keep that Lashon, or do you want to say what we mean by that is this is what we started with. In a Ruin Lahayiv doesn't really mean in a Ruin Lahayiv. It's another way of saying, i.e., there's no Hefsed Mamo. So,
yeah, sure. So
the people who want to stick.
Let's say it means that.
What?
Let's say it means that.
Means what? I'm just saying there are easier ways.
Means
it doesn't sound that way. I mean,
isn't that what the Gemara is saying? On the side, the Gemara is interpreting Inaray and Lahayi.
No, what I'm trying to show is that the Rishonim, some Rishonim go out of their way to retain the language of Inaray and Lahayi, and not.
How can you be going out of your way to retain the language?
Because.
How can you be going out of your way to deviate from?
No, you're going out of your way to retain the language because the substance is more problematic. I mean,
and
the
you're right for reasons.
I mean, from logical standpoint, right? You normally wouldn't say that the problem Doraisa is that ain't a roi. You would say that there's no half some bum. But the fact is that it doesn't really make a difference because in the end of the day, we have Rishonim we're saying each.
Guys, I just don't understand.
Why does some Rishonim say one and the other Rishonim say the other? I'm trying to suggest that there is an argument here about what we're emphasizing, and there are actually Nafkamina. So let's get more to Nafkamina, and that is, let's take it the other way. According to the Mandam Masachik Bekuvia, is Chayiv Korban Shuas Ha'edus, right? So Bishlomo, the Vuhu Eid, right, Roy Lahayid part, that's easy, Midaraisa Mitzichazi. Right? And whatever we just said about Sheme being affected by Drabanans, by the difference between Kabbalas Eidos and Hechshara Gavra, you know, and so all the things that we just said, fine and good, but it's certainly easy to explain Nechzi Chazi Behu Eid according to the view that Mesachik Bekuvia is going to be Chayiv Korban Shuas Eidos. But if you think that a condition, a precondition, of Chiv Korban Shuas Eidos is that there be Hefsed Mamon, so then Mesachik Bekuvia is very problematic, because that's the ultimate, like, Mekadish Bisura Nodrabanan, if that's only pragmatic. Right. So the answer for that, and that, so Tosa says, basically, who cares, right? Tosa on Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, says that in the end of the day, we don't care. I'm sorry, Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph says we don't care. Right? You know, it's Inochanami Edus Drabanan is zero impact, right? But since it would have had, and again, I think the Lashon is important, since it would have had impact Doraisa, theoretical Doraisa impact is what's coming. Fine. But one thing that emerges then is that there's zero impact. Fine. That's where you have the Netziv, you know, and the Netziv is troubled by that. That's why he came up with something which is mechudash. Pashtus of the Gemara is that Mesachek Bekuvia that we're talking about isn't, you know, only in a case of Koda Machraza. Gemara doesn't say that. Right? That's an Netziv. Because he wanted to create, you know, some sort of a flexible outlet for Hefsed Mamon. Because if they were Ba, they would be affected. And even more so, the Chiddush of the Rajba. So as we said, the Rajba says, Meha Shaminan. This is the makar of the Rajba, right, to redefine Psulei Lizdrabanan. It's very remarkable. Right? So, first of all, what did the Rajba? That basically 2 days of the Rajba, and then Talmidei Rajba, you know, said, expanded the Rajba. So, Liad, what is the Rajba's Kiddush? Again, what is he troubled by? He says what he's troubled by. What's he troubled by? This exact problem. How could there be a Deya in the Gemara that Mesachik Bekuvia is Chayv Korban Shuas Eidos? You need to have Sid Mamon, and there isn't any. Didn't bother Tosis. I mean, bothered him, but it didn't you know, change anything. Right? So what did the Rajba come up with?
It says that even though there's
Mamo,
maybe there's still
Hidus
there.
Oh, I mean, 2 days in the Rajba, but in both cases, what he's trying to do, the assumption of the question is never dismissed. Right? Yeah. Meaning, you need some sort of Hefsed Mamo. Yeah. So where do you get it from in Psulei Lizdrabanan, according to the Rajba? Yeah? The first answer, the bigger Kiddush, is David?
He says that Tfisa
would work. Because if Tfisa would... He's assuming there are several assumptions here, right? One is that Tfisa will work, which means that there's Kabbalah's Eidos. Because how do you get the Eidim through the door? If they're Eidim and they testify, there will be Kabbalah's Eidos, even though it's also possible to drop on them, right? And Tfisa will work based on that. There's no Gemara anywhere that says that. That if Edom or Psulim Drabanan come and they testify that Tfisa will work, no such Gemara. This is our Gemara. This is the Gemara for it, right? The view, which we don't even Paskin like imagine that. It's so inspirational. Right, the Rajba came up with a new, you know, perspective on Psulei Lizdrabanan to explain the day on the Gemara. Wow. So what's the assumption? Number one, there is Tfisa that works. Not so obvious. Number two, this is not equally not obvious. Just even if Tfisa works, let's say three. Number one, there's Kabbalah Seidus. Number two, there's Tfisa that works. And number three, the effectiveness of Tfisa constitutes a sufficient mamon or hefsed mamon for purposes of Korban Shua Seidus. None of them are obvious. Now, what's the second day of the Rajba? If you hold Davar Gor in the Mamo, not in the typical meaning, but in the way the Gemara uses it in Shavuos coming up.
Right, then the other volume won't want to be made as Kana, so therefore.
So maybe he'll admit.
Yeah.
So again, that also assumes, not as much, but assumes a Kabbalah Seidus, that we let these guys into court, right? Even though, you know, their testimony mostly is not going to be formally used. Let's assume there's no Tfisa. But if you hold this Gavra the Mamon idea, so you don't need so much Hefsed Mamon. Right. We'll discuss that also when we get to it. And the Rajba, by the way, happens to have very specific views. Let me say that both of these days in the Rajba are Lishitaso of something else that he says on Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, and I believe of Bava Kama Nun Bav. Meaning the Rajba is a huge believer in Shavuos Ha'edos Mechayev of Hefsed Mamon. And the need to expand what Hefsed Mamon means to justify Shavuos Ha'edos, as opposed to being a Mechayev of Sheker Al Yedei Eidim. Okay? Which I think it, you know. So again, that's part of his Bava Kama story too. Correct? So, yeah. So let's just talk about this for another minute. So the Achronim ask questions. First of all, did the Rajba hold this way, or Lahalacha? According to the second day of the Rajba, it sounds like it. So there are, again, Achronim were very troubled by it. In the footnotes I see to the printed Masada of Kook Rajba, I think he quotes a tshuva of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who says, well, we don't paskel like the Rajba. And then he goes further, and I think he says, even the Rajba only meant it according to, who is it, Rapapa? Who's the Mandamar who says, Rapapa, right?
Yeah.
They only meant it according to Rapapa. But according to Vacha Bar Yaakov, it's not true. Okay? That's interesting. Then he has some other achronim who say, no, no, no. The Rashba meant it. He means it even according to Vacha Bar Yaakov. The only thing is that the two deos in the Rashba, and even though he says ve'efshar, the ve'efshar doesn't go on whether there's a din tfisa. The efshar goes on whether the tfisa is enough to create a shame hefsed mamon for korban shvuas ha'edus. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, number one, the Rashba is very mechudash. Most Rishonim definitely hold like the Balei Tosas. Number two, it's mechudash for various reasons. And it's even a question whether the Rashba himself was mistopic about it, whether it makes the final cut since we pass it like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, etc. Now, a little of this matters a little bit for some of the questions that the Achronim ask against the Rashba, particularly the Ksos. Again, they all point this out. This Shev Shmaitza, Zion Gimel. So he asks two famous questions against this Rashba. He says, I can prove to you that Shvuas Eidos requires, you know, a real Hefsed Mamon, not the potential, you know, or the possibility, the contingency of Mamon Ayidei Tvisa. Why? Because the Gemara says later on that if you're Madlik, if there's Eidos on being Madlik Gedisho, you know, B'Shabbos, which is a Kamalei B'Drama Minei case, that doesn't constitute, since you're Kamalei B'Drama Minei, you don't pay. Right? So that's not Chayiv Korban Shavuos Eidos. That's one Gemara. And there's another Gemara that says that, you know, when it comes to Knossos, Mashbiei de Knoss is also Pater Korban Shavuos Eidos, because Moda Miftar. And the example of the Gemara, one of the examples that the Gemara uses is Palganiska Knossa. Okay, says the Shav Shmaitza, the Ksos, says, well, this is already, you know, you have to be a bucky for this. The Ravid, you know, in Bava Kama, has this view that Palganiska Knossa is different than other Knossos. And he thinks, in one view at least, that, you know, even though generally in Knossos, Tofas Mafkina Mine, when it comes to Palganiska Knossa, because it's less than rather than more than. Mostly Knossos are beyond, right, the Chiyuv, like Kefel, or Dalad Behei, maybe even something like Shloshim Shaleved, whatever. But in the case of Palganiska Knossa, right, you damaged, the short time damaged $100 worth, and you only paid 50. That, according to one dumb day in the Gemara, that's Palganiska Knossa. So the writer says, yeah, but it might have impact on Moda Miftar, might have impact on Tafas Mafkina. Again, should we be learning Bava Kama next year? Are we learning Bava Kama next year? We should learn Brachos next year. What? Or Sukkah. Yeah, it's good. Good Masech. So Vitzivanu. And Isurena. Okay. Read for the Raven. Right. So the point is that, you know, he came up with some cases where you have Tfisa Mahani, and yet the Gemara doesn't think that that's enough to create Hefsed Mamon for Korban Shavuos Eidos. So how can the Rashba think that this would be enough? All right, if it's only Safek or Shelo Aliba de Hilchasa, it doesn't make the final cut, it's still better. Of course, you still want to be able to interpret this line of the Gemara, you know, according to these perspectives. Right? So it's not so pasha. So the Ksos himself, in the Shev Shmaitza, and also in the Avne Miluim, in Simen Tzadivav, says, even the Rashba didn't mean to say that anticipating Tfisa is the equivalent of Mamon Gomor. What he meant was that in combination, because it should be medayik in the language of the Gemara. Like the Gemara didn't say that according to Rav Papa, the Mesachi Bekuvias Chayiv, because of what the Rashba said, because it's Hefsed Mamon. The Gemara added, because Midaraisa Michsi Chazi, so he's Roy Lahoid. So maybe what the Rashba means is that the combination of a shemei daraisa, right, and this din of tfisa, right, that is, you know, you have edus daraisa on a daraisa plane, and the din of tfisa, you know, provides you with a little bit of hafsid mamon, so that's enough.
You have edus on a daraisa plane in both cases.
In the other cases too. So, I mean, they're talking about Kamalev Drava Mine and. Yeah, so that he doesn't explain.
But I mean, that's what he meant with Sas Mamon, though, right? I mean, on the Raisa plane, in our case.
No, he says Mitzichazi. He's talking about Shemei.
They would have been affected to Motzi Mamon. Masha Inkain in the case of Kamalev Drava Mine.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he means his Eid, Cheftishal Eidus and Betorah's Eidus.
Well, that it would have been affected to Motzi Mamon, though, right? Either way, there's definitely a
shame he does on the committee. Right, but he does, that would be an easier way. Right. I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. I don't think that's what he's saying, though. The reason I don't think that's what he's saying is because then you don't need to say what he says. In other words, I would have answered this question in a different way. And then I'll read the line. I think I brought it. I did bring it. Okay. Again, these are the questions that he asks. Okay. The F should gamaraj below kamar b'time of the psule drabanan. To Mechaibi Korban, she says, by the way, he preached this in the Avne Miluim too. The Efsha, the Gamaraj, Balo Kamar, Betami, the Psuli, Drabana, the Mechaibi Korban, Shua, Mishum, Tfisa, Elahecha, the Midaraisa, Mixichazi, Mahavale, Eid, Mamish, Balo Tfisa, Eladelo, Mahani, Klum, Beeduso. You're not saying what you're saying, although I think what you're saying is correct. Okay. Kiva, the Chachamim, Paslu, Lazamrin, and Kiva, Dalkapanim, Tfisa, Mahani, Umafsin beiduso, the aid mi ahava min a Torah, a fila below tvisa. Avalecha deno aid klal, below mahani klum beiduso lachai, below midaraisa, below midrabanan. Okay, maybe. I don't think so. I hear it. The eno moil el tvisa, bezela machaiv korban chua, zender muchach and divra papa, dober besachi bekuvia kivin the raisa mexi chazi, the typically the moil tvisa. Elamashma, eno machiv lohid mishum tvisa, lahecha dava al kopanim, aid midaraisa. Akasha, Fimash Akasha, Ksos Akosha, and Edom Hashem and Kasha Zamam, so I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, what I think he's saying is something a little bit different, but because you're right, I mean, there's a gap here. I mean, in the case of Kabbalah Midraba Minei and Edi Knas, they have a shame, Eid Doraisa. But I think what they don't have is a shame of Edus HaMechayev Esmomo, right? Because it's not neat. Oh, let me say this. Let me pull back for a second.
That's what I was saying.
I thought you were saying it more on the Hefsid Mamon itself. You're saying on the shame aid or aidus. Then we're saying the same thing.
From his language, it's clear that he's right. It's clear that he thinks the shame aid is contingent on your ability to be derisive to the Motzi Mamon.
Right. But it's on the aidus. Shame, that Hagdara of Eidos, that's the Kesar.
Okay, right.
So I think that's hugely Chiddush. Okay, we're
saying
this. Right, because Kamlev Drabba Mine, obviously, is a Gavra aid, is fine. And same with Eidos Knas. But Eidos Knossos, right, in terms of the Chiyuv, Korban Shvosa Eidos, right, because again, it's Moda Miftar and so on, and Kamlev Drabba Mine are lacking. By the way, I would have said a different answer. I would have bypassed that altogether. Number one, I think there are two other answers you could give. One is, not every tefisa is the same. And this we know already. We talked about this in context of Chiyuv Haggadah, right? We talked about the whole discussion that the poskim have, you know, in connection with the Sugya Nun Vav, right, in Bava Kamma, about Eid Echad. Right, and the Chiv Latzai Sidei Shemayim. We know that there are different levels of Chiv Latzai Sidei Shemayim, and there may even be different levels of Tfisa. There are some Tfisa, there are some Chiv Latzai Sidei Shemayims that are, you know, Choshen Mishpat Chiyuvim that are just not technically implementable, and there are others that are what I call, you know, more Musari Hilkos Deos oriented. And by the same token, there are two types of Tfisas, or Mahani Tfisas. One is the Choshem Mishpat one, which basically says he owes you the money. The only thing is, technically, Bezdin's hands are tied, but, you know, it's a Chiyuv Bezdin. The other one is, you know, it's a kind of sanctioned of it inish dina de nafshe, meaning he doesn't owe you the money from Bezdin's point of view, just a lack of implementation or collection. It's that it's kind of neutral, and you can take the law into your own hand. So there is evidence that there are different types of tfisas. If all tfisas are not alike, right, then, you know, then this question is an answerable question. Moreover, and these are overlapping points, and that is, in the case of kumle v'drabba minei and moda b'knas, basically you have a situation where the circumstances don't allow for a certain kind of chiyuv, because a chiyuv knas is not a chiyuv mamon, and kumle v'drabba minei is a case where you're potur. So the tfisa in that case is a whole different kind of tfisa, and the lack of chiyuv in that. In the case that we're talking, Mesachim Mekuvia, the Edim who are in court happen to be Edim who are limited in their capacity because of the Psil Drabana. But the case is not a case which is not Nitan Lechi of Mammon. Therefore, its Tfisa also is different. So I'm saying, these are overlapping points. I'm saying, A, not all Tfisas are alike, just like not all Otzei Sidei Shemayim's are alike. And there's a good logical reason to think that the tfisa and lasa sidei shamayim of kamala midraba mine and knas, which have to do with the quality of the obligation, are different than that which has to do with just the quality of the edim that you're bringing to implement the obligation. Okay, but either way, I think what he's saying is something different. I think we're agreeing, and that is that the shame aid, you know, is itself, like, again, As an isolated gavra who's roi le'edus, you know, the kamla bidraba minei and the what other cases are better in a way than the sachek b'kuvya, right? But in the sense that it's not edus al momon, it's not edus shenitenes l'chiyuv, in that sense it affects buhu aid. And that's, I think, what he really means. Yeah.
Why isn't edus al momon?
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to Edus Knas, I'll speak more about it. But that, you know, it's not based on Ma'is Avera, it could be based on the Chiyuv Bezdin, and things of that sort. Although Palga Nizka might be different for that very reason. Right? Palga Nizka, according to the Ravid, is a different kind of Nezdin. Anyways, then he goes on to talk about whether Tfisa, the potential of Tfisa or an effective Tfisa, defines Mammon in other contexts. That's what he talks about Hazama. And then in the Avnei Miluim, he tries to answer that question, but you can look at it. The Avnei Miluim is an interesting piece also. What did I say it was? Tzadi Vav Sifkaton Ches. It's an expand. He wants to know there the issue is. This is in Hilchos Ksuvos. What's Simon Tzadi Vav have to do with anything? Here he's talking about an issue which we'll talk about when we get to Shua Zafikadon, and that is the din of Einish Baim Al Kfiras Shibud Karkos. Right? So the question is this. Let's say you have a shibud, like a certain din Torah, there's a shibud karka. So the Gemara, forget about the Rambam and the Rebbe Gash for the moment, but the Gemara usually says about that, in different places, that ein nishba'i mal kfiras shibud karka. So that's called being nishba. If you have to make a shvu, in such a case, it's nishba la karka, and ein nishba'i mal kfiras shibud karka. So, however, the question is, what about if you were to be tofes metalkalin and it would work? So does that mean it's not a case of Nishboim ala Karkos? Because you could. Bezin's not going to give you metalton. But you could grab metalton and it would work. So does the ability to be toe-face before your toe-face, or does that register that potential, in other words, does that potential register as defining things? So again, or Hazama. Let's say you have a Hazama case. That's the case in Simon Tzadibab. That's a Shita Mekubetzes that he's quoting in Ksuvas. The Hazama case is a case where, let's say, the Hazama is only a din mamon because the effect of the edus is whether or not he can be toface. Right. So the point is that this is what's great about the Ksos and so on, meaning he's pulling from all over. His generic question here is, you know, do you ever anticipate tfisa, or is it something that, you know, when it happens, you deal with, and it's, you know, it's a de facto you know, post facto reality, but never an anticipatory right or status. And he says applying it to five different things, right? And all I'm saying is the category and the type may matter here. Yeah.
In other cases where you want Chayav Aparvin Shivas Eidos, that the nature of Eidos is not one which is in the Chayavas Mamuk. Like, for example, Eidos Isha, there's a Hafsa Ksuba, but the Hafsa Shal Eidos isn't the Hafsa Shal Chayavas Mamuk. So why were...
Well, that's a question. That's not so clear. How do you know it isn't both or two different things at the same time? That's an interesting question, but not so obvious, right? So we'll talk about it.
Is it not equally obvious that you might have both elements in both these cases?
I mean, you're asking according to the Xosis answer of those two cases versus...
Right, that's Mahala.
Okay, I hear. I'm just saying, you know, that we already know that there's a lot to talk about in Eda Sota, Negla Rufa, and Misa Sabal. You know, and the one of the things, you're totally right, I'm not dismissing what you're saying, meaning one of the interesting questions about that is, you know, is that is the primary focus, let's say, on the Tzad HaIsur, right, Shabbat, you know, does that, like, render, you know, the mumminous part, you know, kind of an agav or takes away from the Chefza Shaledos, or maybe there are two things happening at the same time? That is one of the questions. So we'll talk more about it. But it's a question to raise. I don't think it's a fatal, you know, flaw in the Rajba, in the Xosis thinking. Okay. What about Eidos Drabanan? So the Talmidei HaRajba are quoted as taking the Rajba a step further and saying that not only does the Rajba think that there is Tfisa, that Tfisa turns into Mamon and so on, or sufficiently, right? But that Psuleis Drabanan maybe will work Lahaksik, just not Lahotzi Mamon. Okay. That's a significant escalation in this Dida Psuleis Drabanan. The Minchas Chinuch, in a few places, here, Kuf Chaf, Beis or Gimel, I forget which one, and Mitzvah Ayin Hei, always says that just because Eidim are Psulim Midrabanan doesn't mean that they won't be effective for Nefashos, Lahatzala. He assumes that Lechayiv, they're never effective because the Drabanan passeled them, but Lahatzala, Bikuach Nefesh, you know, you'll always listen to Psulei Drabanan. Again, I'm not so sure. In a way, it echoes a little bit, depending on your perspective, right? The view of those Gaonim of, you know, whether Kosher should be Drabanan or not. Certainly, if you don't allow Kabbalah Seidus and Psulei Drabanan, again, I'm not sure whether it's... I totally understand where the Minchas Chinuch is coming from. That would seem to be shocking, but I don't think that there's evidence in Shas that is true. So I think there's a very interesting question here about the nature of the scope of the Psuleidus Drabanan, and whether or not, again, the very fact that Psuleidus Drabanan require Hakhraza, you know, typically, is part of the story. The question is, after Hakhraza, do we really treat them as an objective Psul, or just as a Kabbalah Seidus problem, or a Shas Sheker problem? Like, what exactly is that? So you have a number of debate, or Batla Miktasa Batla Kula. You have Edom who are Psulim Drabanan, do they trigger Doraisa of Edisha Batla Miktasa Batla Kula? Right? Do we really treat them as a Psul? We noted the other day, we talked about Piskei Tshuva and Simen Chavchas, right? There's an Odmihuda, there's a Tumim, there's the Achronim, there's some evidence in the Ritva and different places. There's a big discussion about that. So just to sum up, the Rajba here was motivated because he wanted to project very centrally. He couldn't believe that you could not project centrally, right, Hefsed Mamon in Chiyuv Korban Shavuos Eidos, unlike Tosis, by the way, and so on, who are okay with it, even though the Nusach of Tosis is strange. Unlike those who will just say, Mechsi Chazi B'daraisa, shame aid, end of story. Rajba thought, I think L'shitaso Mbavakama, I think Lashitaso later on about Davar Agorim. I think Lashitaso later on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph about Krovim Bin Shoseim. We haven't done these yet, but you'll see what I mean when we get to them. The Rajba is a very big Hefsed Mamon. Chiyuv Agada, Hefsed Mamon. The Choshen Mishpat side of Korban Shavuos Eidos is critical for the Rajba. And therefore, he just remarkably came up with a reassessment of what it means for Eidim to be Psalos Midrabana. And again, you wonder, you know, whether the Ritva is very comfortable with the distinction of Psulei Desrabanan and Yisurei Anah Drabanan. I'd say the Rajba in the Tshuvas mostly holds that way too, but he's much more open to the idea of the Psulei Desrabanan in Choshen LeKiddushin. I wonder whether that isn't a little bit also because, he's less open to it, but not for the reasons of the Ritva. I wonder whether that isn't also because, you know, he has this view that they are, you know, not just Shemei Daraisa, but there's Kabbalah Seidus, and, you know, in Dini Mominis, they really do play a role. So, again, the 2 days of the Rajba, the question whether expanding even more for the difference between being Motzi and being Maksik, which is interesting. What about Kiddushin? What about Nefashos? These are all issues. And then you have the Netziv idea that in Ochanami, also you can't let go of the Hefsed Mamon, but that impelled him to an equally radical conclusion, or maybe not equally, but also a radical conclusion, namely that the Sugya is talking about Psulei Desrabanan Kodem Hakras. Okay, so that is in terms of the question of Sakib Kovi. Now let's turn our attention to... Oh, I should add one other thing, and that is another way to look at the Rajba, if you wanted to just take it, you know, especially in light of what the Shev Shmaitza says, is that the Tfisa Mahani itself is a way of maybe preserving the Shem-Ei Daraisa. No, this Mixi-Chazi Daraisa, maybe it wouldn't have been, because maybe the loss of any pragmatic impact of a Nibiror, right, would have torpedoed even the Shem Eid on a practical level, if not for the Tfisa. So I'm suggesting something going a little further than what the Shev Shmaitza says. In other words, not that the Hefsed Mamon of Tfisa only works together with Mixi Chazi, but that maybe the whole din is one of, you could have said, the whole din is one of Mixi Chazi, just that if there wasn't some sort of pragmatic outlet for it, you would be lacking the Mixi Chazi. If that were true, then right, you certainly don't have any question from the other Tfisos. Because the other Tfisos aren't about, for the other reason that I mentioned, but namely, they're about the quality of the case. They're not about, you know, the effect of the Eidim. So the idea that Tfisa may be a shiur in preserving the Shemei Daraisa, another suggestion. I don't know if the Rajba held this way, but that would completely solve the problems of any other tfisos. Okay? Good? Okay. Now about Melech. Just give me another minute just to start at least so we can almost know what we're talking about. Yeah.
Is the Rajba saying that Kabbalah is able to serve Slade's Rabbana
on that? I think, doesn't there have to be? How would there be tfisa otherwise?
So this seems very strange. You could have Kabbalah Seidus for Kulimius Rabbanan. Right? Doesn't
change. Seems very strange.
Right.
But I don't see how do you get Tfisa without it.
What if? It could just mean that maybe if you could point to Tfisa would work if you could back it up with Eidus.
What do you mean?
So whether it's
after Tfisa?
No, whether it's an avinu shino nafshe, whether it's mutter from Pritoshes.
But how do you get the Eidim in there? So I mean, only after Tfisa. You're saying like this. They don't come to court, testify, you know, and then we say, so, sorry, but they're Psulei Desrabanan, but then the guy can do Tfisa.
Right.
You're saying the opposite. Maybe there's a Tfisa, and then in the Ovid Inish Dina Dinafshe that follows, they say, we've got Eidim. And then they say, okay, well, since this is this kind of case,
well,
we'll hear
them. Only mutter for him to be Popes.
But it'll have to be Kabbalah Zedas.
There wouldn't be any.
After the Tfisa.
Right.
I mean, they have to be heard. Otherwise, how do they buttress the tefisa?
Because it's only mutter for it. In a case where
somehow they have to get registered.
In a case where the nechva has no edim that belong to him. So somebody shown him hold that avinu shenol nafshe.
He's not working with avinu.
Only mutter if there's edim.
I understand, but you'll still be. I'm saying, well, I don't think it's conceivable.
As Nisar Gabra, he's not allowed to be tofes unless he gets a part of the
Eden. But the Rajba isn't discussing whether he's allowed to or not. He's saying the potent. I don't think that's what he means. I think what you're saying may be correct. I think the part of what you're saying. Let me say this way. The Pashtus, I think the Rajba is saying that there's Kabbalah Seidus, and if that ends up impacting on a later Tfisa, you know, so be it. I think it's a pashtus. I think it's really strange. I agree with you. And therefore, I'm willing to countenance the possibility that what he really, really, really means is that if there's tfisa, and then you want to support the tfisa, or you want the tfisa to be effective, you know, then there could be Kabbalah Seidus in that case. But I don't think it's possible to say that there's at no point Kabbalah Seidus.
Maybe it's just this time alone that he has made and prepared.
And he doesn't, he can make, anybody can make a taina. This isn't the din of an initial anafshe. This is a din korban shuas eidos. Mitzi chazi. There has to be the possibility that he's heard by the Bezdin. I mean, this is taking place in Bezdin.
That's my point. It's not taking place in Bezdin at all.
The kfira is taking place in Bezdin.
That's means he brings the Bezdin to have them hear his
son. And whatever, I'm saying it's in the presence of Bezdin. I mean, that's Mipaska like the. This isn't Reb Meir.
Right, so what? That's
so, I mean, at some point we have to be willing to hear them. The guy says, Bo, Tavo, Tavo, you do me.
Yeah. There's a case of Akosha, so they're never actually testifying.
What do you mean, Akosha? The guy says, come testify.
Yeah,
and they're co-fair in court. And if they had come and testified, and there had been a tfisa, it would have worked. If you want to suggest that the order is reversed, even though it doesn't say it.
Right.
But you'd still have to support that. The other guy would say, prove it. Where are they?
He points them and he says, these are Ma'eda.
I could point at the wall too. I could point at Moshe and Aaron. Let's say nobody knows their brothers. I'm saying nobody. In the end of the day, you still need edus. You need hagadas edus.
No, not for a piece of edus.
You can't have korban shvus edus without hagadas edus of some sort. You have to hear from them. That's ridiculous.
You just need hefsed mamon, right? I mean, in the second case,
you can only have hefsed mamon with it, even if there is tfisa, if it's supported by the edim. They have to be supported by the edim somehow. They have to talk. I only agree with you that even though it doesn't sound like the order is tfisa and then Kabbalah Seidus, maybe that is, I think that's more palatable, even though I don't think it sounds that way. But that there has to be some sort of Kabbalah Seidus. Okay, Melech.
I mean, what if like they started off kosher and they got hustled in the middle of the court case?
I mean, he's doing his gambling.
It's a rough time. Right.
No, just give me one more minute, Bezdin. That's this last hand.
He didn't realize how stressful the court case was, and as soon as he started,
do you think that would be more dochek even than the Lifnei Hakraza?
Well, at least then you.
I think the Rajba is assuming that this is true with any Psalatus Rabba. What's that?
It's a bit of a thing.
Why can't they find out? I mean, if that was the case, but he doesn't seem to think that that's. He doesn't say that.
That's where Packer thought. That's where Packer.
Said the what?
He said it's like a bidyevet. It was like where they had a bidyevet.
In the Rajva? I don't think it's credible. I mean, I hear why you'd want to say it because it's a Mechudash, but I don't think that's what he says. Okay, Melech. So the problem of Melech, we'll have to finish Melech on Thursday. But having discussed Pesachim Bekuvia, we turn to Melech. And say, by implication, you know, when we said that you could be mechalik between them because Mesachik Bekubya is Mitzi Chazi Midaraisa, so it sounds like we're saying that Melech is not Mitzi Chazi Midaraisa. Right? So, as we already noted, the Rambam seems to take that to an extreme by implying, you know, in the whole Perek Yud, which applies also to Melech, that Enei Duso Edus, right? Even though there's no real Psul. The contrast to that is the view of the Sefer HaChinuch, right? Aryeh, who says what? Sefer Chinuch, did you say? No, 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 no. About Eidos, Melech. Works or doesn't work? Yeah? Malchut Beis David works. Right, again. We'll have to figure out, so we'll go through this on Thursday as quickly as we can. But, right, the Gemara has this distinction. The Mishnah and the Gemara have the distinction, or Gemara's interpretation of the Mishnah, right, in Sanhedrin. Right? That what? That Malchut Yisrael are Ein Donin, Ein Meidin Amaleim, Ein Meidin, right? Ein Donin, Ein Donin Aleim, correct? And the Gemara says that Malchut Beis David are different, but we're not sure. We know that Malchut Beis David are different when it comes to Don and Donin, and also when it comes to Me'idin Aleim. What we're just not so sure about is, what about Malchut Beis David, Me'idin, correct? So what does the Chinuch say? So he says that Malchut Beis David are Me'idin. Right, they're Donin, Me'idin Aleim, and Me'idin. Correct? The question is, what? There are two questions. What are the questions? What do you do with our Gemara, number one? Right? Because our Gemara says everybody agrees that Melech is, by implication, Michzi Lochazi. What do you Michzi Lochazi if Me'idin? Right? I'm not so sure how hard it is to answer that question, but. Right, that's one question. Right, what else? What else? I mean, maybe it's the same answer. Well, what do you think? Quite Michas Chinuch asks.
So he says, where is he getting from?
The Rambam doesn't like. No, the Michas asking the Rambam. The Michas Chinuch doesn't like the Chinuch or the Rambam. Right? He doesn't like the Rambam. He says, how does he... It's one thing to say, right, that he, you know, is not mechuyev lahayid, right, or eno rashoi, according to that girsa. I guess eno roi, or eduso eno edus, is a much bigger, you know, leap, right? Where'd he get that from? Okay. How does a melech become pasul edus? We'll talk about that. But what is it? What bothers him about the Sefer HaChinuch? What do you mean, Malchut Beis David are Me'idin? Logara, from what? Malchut Yisrael, because they had this major, you know, temper tantrum. You know, so that's something else. That's Malchut Yisrael. Oh, okay. What about Kohen Gadol? And what about Talmud Chacham? Right? If Talmud Chacham and the Kohen Gadol are not Me'idim, so why is Melech made? So is that really true in the same way? Right? The truth is that the Chinuch himself, right, happens to think that Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol are Pturim, as we know. He even reread the Rambam, but they're not Asurim, right? It isn't so... I think I could say two things. Number one, that, you know, maybe there is a Ptur, right? But the point is that there is no Isur and certainly no lack of Hechsher. Correct? That's number one. Number two, is it inconceivable to think that Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol are I think you say three things. Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol are Pturim, let's say, or even Asurim, and that Melech is not? Ezra, what do you think? We have such a phenomenon. I mean, the Minchas Chinuch is asking against the Sefer HaChinuch, I have to stop for one more minute, but is asking against the Sefer HaChinuch, like why it sounds like he thinks that Melech is made more so than Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, right? So one answer may be what I just said a second ago, which is what? What do we decide?
That there, that the other one's in a Harmir putter and calling
what's that? Yeah. Oh, exactly. So especially the Ritva, right, here in Shavuos, and the one day in the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, which we talked about already, which is that even the hierarchy of Kavod is a tricky business, right? Not only between Talmud Chacham and the others, maybe even between Melech and Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham, meaning Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, right, is, you know, it's you know, it's a Torah kind of a kavod, and with Melech, right, it's an ema, you know, kind of a thing. So maybe, you know, being made in the presence of the Rabbon Shalom is daf good for the Melech, right? She has that emas Kodesh Baruch Hu, has to be not so terrible, right? So there might be differences here. All right, but we have this range. But the problem is, for the Rambam, right, to explain like what's the psul, right? For the chinuch, maybe there's not even an iser. The other problem for the Rambam is, Ezra, and if this will stop. Right, the Rambam is very forceful in Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, of Hilchos Shavuos, and telling us that what? That Melech is Mufka from Korban Shavuos Eidos. Right? How does that fit in? With what he writes in Hilchos Shagos. Also Perek Yud, right? What does he say there? That a Melech or Nasi and a Kohen Mashiach are Mevi'in Korban Shavuos Eidos. Right, so it seems to be a straight out stira in the Rambam. So what we need to do, hopefully quickly, is look at the Rambam in a few places. In Hilchos Eidos, right, especially in Hilchos Shavuos, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, and Hilchos Shagos. And we just need to look at the Nosa Kalim a little bit, especially the Kesem Mishnah is all over the place, says different things in different places. A little bit of the Tosas Yom Tov, right? Midchas Chinuch. Like, what's going on with the Rambam? And what is, Melech seems to be a very mechudash halacha that, you know, that he's mufka from the Korban Shavuos Eidos. Okay, so we'll pick up with this and then go on to Shkaga. Again, do me not know, Shkaga.